Having grown up in the Christian Reformed Church, I grew up on the Heidelberg Catechism. Now, as a Presbyterian, I love the Westminster standards, but I still love to dip back into the Heidelberg when I have the opportunity. So this evening, we are going to use for our confession Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 23. And this is somewhat brief, and so we will read this responsively. It's found on page 881 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. It's also in the forms and prayers. Question 59, but how does it help you now that you believe all this?
That I am righteous in Christ before God and heir to life everlasting.
How are you righteous before God?
Only by true faith in Jesus Christ, even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments, of never having met any of them, and of still being inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without any merit of my own, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me in perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned, nor never since sinned, and as if I had been perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. If only I accept this gift of a believing heart.
Why do you say that through faith alone you are righteous?
Not because I please God by the worthiness of my faith, for only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness are my righteousness before God. And I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone.
Amen. What beautiful truth. Well, this evening we're looking in the scriptures at Matthew chapter 7. This is, of course, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. My text this evening is going to be verses 13 and 14, but let us back up to verse 7 to have the context. This is the true word of the living God. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for your holy word. We know that it is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And now, Lord, by your word, cut to our hearts and show us our Savior, Christ, in his beauty and glory. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine for a moment that you and I are walking together through a grassy meadow. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and I am your tour guide. We stop on a little knoll, and I direct your attention to the far side of the meadow. "What do you see?" I ask. "I see two gates," you answer. "Do you notice any difference between them?" I question. "Why, yes," you say. "The one is big and broad, but the other is just a tiny turnstile." Then, as we watch, we see another difference. A steady stream of people are flowing through the wide gate, but almost no one enters through that little turnstile. In fact, it seems that for every 1,000 going through that wide gate, only one or two enter through the narrow gate. Now, after we have observed the traffic patterns for a time, I inform you that when we get to those gates, you will need to enter through one or the other. Beyond the gates are their respective roads that lead to particular destinations. As a good tour guide, I want to give you as much information as I possibly can before we get there in order for you to make a wise choice. So please come along with me and let me tell you about what you are going to encounter when we reach the gates. First of all, I want to inform you about that wide gate and the broad boulevard that lies beyond it. Then I will describe the narrow turnstile and its corresponding path. And hopefully, by the time we arrive, you will be fully ready to choose your gate. So let me fill you in first about the big gate that you saw. It really has a wide entrance. It gives easy access to anyone and everyone who wants to enter through it. In point of fact, you can enter at the same time as many other people do. There are no lines, there's no waiting to get through that big gate. Because it is such a broad gate, you can bring as much baggage as you want. There are no restrictions on what you bring through this gate. You might say that it is an all-inclusive gate. Now, in case you're wondering, this gate is open to anyone and everyone, regardless of their race, gender, family background, personal history, past sins, or present vices. There is absolutely no discrimination based on your philosophy, your religion, or your creed. In fact, quite a few churchgoers have entered through this gate, and they all profess that it is very spacious indeed, and it is entirely comfortable to them. Once you get through the gate itself, you're going to find a broad boulevard beyond it. On this road, there are few rules or restrictions. You will find relative freedom and opportunity to do whatever you please. If you want to indulge yourself in the pleasures of this life, you are free to gratify your flesh. And there is plenty of room for both the moral man and the immoral person. You can be as religious as you want, or you can be an outright atheist. There's lots of latitude on this road. It is whatever your heart desires. You will find that as you travel down this boulevard, you'll have plenty of company. This is the road that most people prefer, and you will find yourself comforted by the crowd. Could so many people be so very wrong, you will ask yourself? Moreover, you will find that this is an historic road. I guess it goes back a long way. There's plenty of tradition here. Why, people have been traveling down this road for centuries. I would guess that it goes all the way back to Old Cain. So you'll find this path well worn with deep ruts where countless travelers have gone before you. And with so much company, you'll get plenty of affirmation and encouragement. I don't doubt that for men who travel this way, it seems right to them. And if you choose this road, it will seem right to you, at least at the first. But there's something else that I must mention about this gate and this road, namely its destination. For it seems that this road leads inevitably to death and destruction. Not just a momentary period of difficulty, but it leads to eternal destruction, to complete and utter ruin. As they used to say in the old days, it leads to damnation. For in fact, this road is none other than the highway to hell. And though most travelers will deny it, the outcome is always the same. Now they suppose that this road is an end in itself, but it is really not an end in itself, it is a means to an end. It leads inevitably to judgment and to ruin. It is taking these carefree people to a place where the worm never dies, where the fire is never extinguished. The funny thing is that most travelers on this road believe that the road will go on forever and ever, and they don't realize how truly short this road is. More than that, few contemplate that it is a one-way road. And once you reach the destination, there is no turning back. You will be there forever and ever, for hell affords no way of escape. But now let me tell you also something about that other gate that you saw. You remember the small one. It looked like just a turnstile, and it really is that narrow. It is truly a difficult gate to go through. It's very exclusive. It's quite restrictive. You really can't carry your baggage with you through this gate. It must be discarded before you enter in. Indeed, the gatekeeper often tells travelers to deny themselves, to cast away their selfish pride, to take up their cross and follow Christ. You must understand that this is a most restrictive gate because narrowness is its main feature. And now I will tell you a secret. This narrow gate is Christ. In John 10, he says, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and will find pasture." Christ is the narrow gate. Now, once you are through the turnstile, you'll discover that the pathway is equally narrow. It doesn't start off broad and then get narrower as time goes on. No, it's narrow from the very beginning until the very end. And on this road, this narrow path, there really is no latitude for worldly pursuits. In fact, you will need to reject and discard and condemn the worldly ways of your past life, the ways of your present friends, and even sometimes the worldly ways of your own family. For the rule of this road is that friendship with the world is hatred toward God. As you go down this narrow road, you will find that even the thoughts and motives of your heart will be governed and restricted by the Lord of the road. He will not tolerate murderous hatred or envious lust from the travelers on his road. He will require that you love your enemies and that you pray for those who persecute you. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, you will be expected to turn to him the other also. Revenge can play no part in your journey, but instead a willing submission to the Lord and to his will. Indeed, you will be expected to extract all of the planks out of your own eye before you attempt to pick those tiny specks out of your brother's eye. You should pray along your way, for you will find that the Lord of this road answers the prayers that are offered to him by weary travelers. I might also mention that there is a fairly thorough roadmap available that describes this narrow path. You'll find that roadmap in your Bible in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Another aspect of this road is the limited number of travelers on it. Perhaps because it is so very narrow, few actually venture down this path. So you won't have many companions on your journey, and you will probably receive relatively little affirmation or encouragement along the way. So what I'm saying is that it is frequently a lonely road to travel. Some travelers have wondered at times whether so few people could be really right and so many people be so thoroughly wrong. In other words, there probably will be times when you will question the narrow path that you are on. On occasion, you may catch a glimpse of the broad boulevard and see all the throngs of people having such a good time together, and you'll wonder to yourself, is this narrow path, this difficult road, is it really worth it? Did I make the right choice? You're also going to discover sooner or later that this is a path of suffering. The Lord Jesus Christ, our great trailblazer, leads us through many trials and tribulations. He has told us in his word that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And so we share in the fellowship of his sufferings. Since he was a man of sorrows and was acquainted with grief, we too will have our share of difficulty, persecution, and affliction. It has been well said that everyone who wants to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, and that is one of the stated characteristics of this road. It is a way of hardship. But lest you be discouraged from choosing this narrow road, let me now tell you the most wonderful thing of all. It is the road that leads to life. Though the gate is narrow and the road is hard, the destination is glorious. It's not just temporary life a few brief years of happiness. No, this road leads to everlasting life, to eternal life, to life that never ends. And when you reach the celestial city, you will find there fullness of joy, peace in the Holy Spirit. There is a banquet being prepared there for all of the travelers of the narrow road. Rooms are provided in the mansions of the Heavenly Father Himself. And even now, Christ stands ready to welcome His good and faithful servants and to introduce them to their Master's happiness. There at the destination, you will see Jesus in all His beauty and His glory. The man of sorrows will become the glorious Prince of Heaven, and angels and men will throng to rejoice around His throne, praising Him for His great work done on our behalf. While the wicked travelers of that broad road are suffering the unending torments of hell, you will be comforted and blessed. You will enjoy eternal life, life as it was intended, life forever and ever. Now, I am required, as your tour guide, to inform you that no eye has seen, nor has any human mind even imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. All that I can say is that the destination will exceed your greatest expectations. There is no way to capture what beauty and glory is in that place for all who go there. So those are your choices. Two gates, two roads, and only two. There is no third option. Whether you like it or not, these are the only two options, and there is no way to reach the destination of life if you go through the broad gate and take the broad road. Now, some other tour guides may tell you this. They may advertise that there is a way that you can go through the broad gate and down the broad road and still enjoy life. But I'm here to tell you they're lying to you. The only way to have life is to go through Christ, the narrow gate, and down that difficult road that He has marked out for you. It is also the case that if you go with Christ and you pursue that narrow road, that you will not end up in destruction. For those who entrust themselves to Him and His care, who walk with Him through that narrow road, do not end up condemned. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so don't believe the false advertisements that say that you can have the joys of sin in this world and still inherit eternal life. Those who tell themselves that it's okay to sin with abandon, to live like the world, to love the world, and yet they'll go to heaven, those people are deceiving themselves. It is only those who trust in Christ and who serve Christ that have the true and lively hope of eternal life with God. Well, whether you believe it or not, you must needs choose one of these two gates, one of these two roads. You will go down one road or you'll go down the other. You will reach one destination or you will reach the other destination. You cannot escape that. No one can. It is reality, a reality that is unavoidable and unimpeachable. Now let me take the liberty to give you a bit of friendly advice. Avoid that wide gate and that broad boulevard that lies beyond it. I know it may seem inviting. It may appear appealing to you. It is undoubtedly the popular choice. But you really don't want to go there. Remember what I said. The road is not an end in itself. It is a means leading to an end. And the end of that road is eternal, inevitable destruction. Destruction. Do you hear me? It will certainly bring about your utter ruin. You will eternally regret such a short-sighted and foolish choice. Be assured, my brothers and sisters, hell is no picnic. It is not a party. There are no good times happening in hell. Those who suffer there at this very moment gnaw their tongues in anguish. They're almost out of their minds in torment, loathing themselves for the folly of their sinful choices. They had the opportunity, and they willfully rejected the gracious offer of God Almighty. And so now they suffer the unending pains of hell forever and ever. This is serious. This is about your eternal happiness. And while I'm at it, and please hear me out here, I strongly encourage you to enter by that narrow gate. Go to Christ. He alone can give you what your heart desires, what you need. He is the only Savior. There is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved. Travel down that difficult road. For though the gate is small and the way is narrow and company is sparse, it leads you to life. Life as you've never known it here on earth. Life which is pure joy and bliss and happiness all the time. Life that brings fulfillment that even the best things of this world can never provide for us. The Lord Jesus Himself stands ready to receive you. He will aid you. He will assist you along the way. And I can promise you, you will never regret choosing the King's Highway. You will enjoy blessings forevermore at His right hand. My friend, you will have fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Let me close our tour this evening by quoting just a few choice words from some of our veteran tour guides of the past. One of these old stalwarts said it this way, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him, For this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Just a generation later, his successor said it this way: If it is disagreeable for you in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the clear and plain lesson that you give to us, calling us to that narrow gate and that narrow road that leads to life. Lord, help each one of us to see the broad gate and the broad road for what it truly is, a highway to take us to the pit of hell. And Lord, I pray that you would take this word as it has been proclaimed, and this invitation as it has been offered, and that you will use your word to quicken and draw your people unto yourself, that none may leave here this night unreconciled to you through Christ. Lord, give us the grace and the strength to travel that narrow road, as we often do, all alone, with very few companions along the way. Give us grace to endure the suffering that we must share in. Give us persistence and perseverance.